Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything. On today's big show, comedian Billy Gardell. You'll hear him coming up in just a minute.
Game day energy starts before the first snap with Chumba Casino. Whether you're killing time before kickoff or celebrating a big touchdown, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of the game right to your browser. Spin the reels, play blackjack, instant scratch-style cards, and more. It's like having a full playbook of fun at your fingertips. Sign up in seconds and score a free welcome bonus. Plus, daily login bonuses each time you return. And here's the extra point. You don't need to make a purchase to get in on the action. So whether you're going for a Hail Mary or just looking for a solid drive of entertainment, Chumba Casino gives you a chance to score some serious prizes without leaving your home turf. It's your move. Start your streak at ChumbaCasino.com today. Sponsored by VGW Group. No purchase necessary. See terms at ChumbaCasino.com. Must be over 21 and present in a state where it's legal to play.
When you need relief and you need it fast, eat a bowl of Sphincter Blast.
Hi, I'm Harry Kalanick Jr. for the new high-fiber breakfast cereal, Sphincter Blast. One 10-ounce serving contains more fiber than a log of New England birch firewood. Sphincter Blast. Some cereals shoot for the moon. We shoot for Uranus. Just say to your grocer, snap, crackle, plop. Tell him Harry Kalanick Jr. sent you, and watch for my BMTV special. Harry Kalanick Jr. Unplugged. Sphincter Blast in the big brown tapered package. That's, of course, so the box won't slam shut. It may sound corny, but Sphincter Blast is hip, cool, and it's solid.
When you need relief and you need it fast, eat a bowl of Sphincter Blast.
We're just waiting for the cast to actually show up for work. Here's more Bob and Tom Extra.
Tom, we have one of our favorite people in the universe with us today.
We're joined by a very fine actor and comedian. He is Billy Gardell, but he only brought half of himself. You left Fat Billy somewhere else.
He had to go away. He had to go away. He's not coming back, and we don't know anything about it.
All right, we won't ask any questions.
Billy Gardell is a very fine stand-up comedian. We first met you on the stand-up circuit many years ago. I think Tim Wilson, I think, brought you in.
He begged you guys to have me on the air and promised that I would behave and be polite, be a gentleman. And I was trying to think of when I met you guys. I want to say it was middle 90s.
Probably,
maybe even a little before that. So thank you for having me back. It's great to see you guys.
Great
to
see you.
Nice to meet Pat Godwin. We've done every gig.
Yeah.
Week or two apart. That's one of those names.
We did a famous strip
last week. That was
strip club gig.
Exactly.
You did a strip club gig?
Yeah.
The Palomino, I would imagine, is what you're referring to.
Yeah, in Atlanta, they tried to have comedians with strippers, and it didn't work. We were paid pretty well. But
yeah, that was it.
Were the girls stripping while you were doing stand-up?
No, they'd give us like a 10-minute spot.
It was a 6 o'clock, a 9 o'clock, and a midnight, right?
It seemed like it went on forever.
Oh, dear God. And I was really heavy back then, too. So I remember, man, that happy hour crowd was the tough one because it's like 6 o'clock, the lights go up, the girls leave, and then I go waddling towards the stage like, show us your all right. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody? How we doing? We have the same scar, Pat. It's like the two guys talking about the scars in the boat and Jaws. Look at this. Right here. Atlanta, the Palomino took it out of me, Shark's eyes, black at night.
They didn't have any customers. It was just you performed for the strippers.
Yeah.
And after a while, you're there for 2 weeks.
I imagine the idea, the germ of that probably came from the 50s.
Yeah, burlesque.
Lenny Bruce, famously, right. I mean, if you've ever seen the movie Lenny, where Dustin Hoffman portrays Lenny Bruce, that's fairly accurate.
Yeah. That's what they were trying to bring that back, and this guy had a whim to do that. And I think me and Pat and maybe three or four other guys survived it before they pulled the plug.
Then they stopped it, We had like one little tiny green room in the back where I would hide because it was just crazy.
Did you play guitar back then?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I did my little guitar action.
I wished I played guitar back then.
What were you doing?
I would have put cymbals on my knees and clanked them together. I mean, it was horrifying.
Our guest is Billy Gardell, before he got famous. Let me ask you this. Was the content of your comedy when you were playing in this strip club, was it a clean show?
No.
Your show now is relatively...
I swear a little bit, but I'm not going to say nothing that's going to run you out the door.
But in those days,
I never have.
Did.
That's never really been my thing. No, I don't think so. I was still just trying to be funny. I was probably talking about getting drunk a lot because that was what was going on back then. So, you know, but that fit. That particular group.
Oh, God. Well, I went with.
Did you? Let me ask you this. So you're playing this this strip club. Did you meet the ladies?
Oh God!
Oh yeah.
I mean,
they were nude. It was
nude.
But you would sit at the bar waiting for your spot. I don't know how it worked for, but I had to drink to get through it. I'm like, what have I done with my life? Right. But then they would sit and then get up and go work and sit and get up and go. But they would like drop some of their story on you, so you would just get this round robin. Anyway, my boyfriend said he doesn't really care for me, and he's going to Louisiana. And anyway, I got to work. And the other one will come in. I think I'm just going to do this long enough until I can get a car, and I'm going to have to go. I'm going to work.
Sit
there like the dude in the Big Lebowski. All right, man. Okay. All right.
That was Dina.
If you really got to know them, they tell you their real name.
A couple of them did.
Yeah, I go by Galaxy. Galaxy, my real name is Star.
Galaxy, my real name is Star.
Toughest gig I've ever done, man. That was rough.
Oh, wow. Yeah, one time we were out with our band, and it was, where was that? It was in
Nebraska, I believe. Yeah.
And the club was a huge place, and for some reason there was a strip show in the middle of the day. So, and they were kind of over on the right and back.
Yeah.
And we were trying to do a sound check. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
I believe it was a strip club most of the time.
And we were the guests?
Yes, we were the guests that day.
All right. Billy Gardell has gone on to many other things besides stand-up comedy. It would include one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
You are so kind about that. Thank you.
True.
This is odd. I have seen every episode, and I have not seen every episode of any other show because it used to air at 3 a.m. here.
So when you were getting ready to come in.
I've seen every episode. I'm not kidding.
I'm sorry you had to hear my voice first every day. I'm sorry for that. My dad used to say, it should be on top of an ambulance. Get out of the way. There's been an accident.
The show is, of course, Mike and Molly.
Of course.
Right.
And every once in a while, there'll be a marathon on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I'll leave it on. So as I come and go, I get to watch.
It's so well written. It's so well cast.
That's
perfect,
it, man.
It's perfect.
Perfect
guys
cast.
Our table read scripts were better than most people shoot scripts. That camp just has an incredible writing staff that just Chuck kind of promotes from within. He has kind of a farm system. So you really have to make it to the next level to get to the next level. And man, some of the drafts we would get, we'd be laughing out loud at the beginning of the week.
Now, is there somewhere an outtake reel?
Yeah, I got a couple, actually. You want me to send you one?
Well,
we got some funny ones. We had some great... They're just such a great cast.
Now, who was the best at remembering their lines?
Me.
Is that a lie?
I was just terrified I was going to lose my job every day. So you know, because you think about it, Melissa had been on Gilmore Girls and came out of the Groundlings. Katie Mixon, who played her sister, was out of Carnegie Mellon. Niambi, Shakespearean trained. Reno Wilson had a show and then he went to the School of Fame in New York. Lou Mastillo, Broadway. Swoozy Kurtz, Broadway. Rondi Reed, who played my mom, Steppenwolf. And then
here I come out of the comedy club kitchen. You guys doing a show?
I had to be on my horse, man.
Do you by chance know who you beat out for the role? Was it someone you knew?
I do. There was a great guy, Lance Barber.
He's wonderful.
And a great guy. And me and Lance, now Lance was the dad on Young Sheldon, so he eventually ended up on the Yankees too. So, and I got to go down and congratulate him, but it came down to me and him. During the like the late 90s, early 2000s. Me and Lance passed each other at every audition. We were like, you know that, remember that Warner Brothers cartoon? It was like, morning, Bob, morning, Fred. Right. We were those guys passing, like every overweight white dad. We were like the, you know what I mean, or the sidekick or the cop. Like, we would just pass each other at every audition. So I was very happy when he got that.
And you guys had great scenes together on Young Sheldon.
Oh, man, it was fun to go down and play with
him. His son was a tire savant kind of.
Yeah, we got love Young Sheldon.
We got to hide in the chicken shack and have our beers.
How fun. That must have been great to actually get to work together after all that.
It was really, really nice. And to go in and play supporting role to him was even cooler.
Yeah.
You know? And then he really took that role and crushed it.
Yes.
And that is another great cast. Another great cast.
That happens to be my daughter Finn's favorite show.
I love every
episode of Young Sheldon.
The young people that watch that show, it's unbelievable. I mean, they've kind of skipped a generation. Like, they were a hit on TV, but then when they went, I think they're Netflix now.
Yeah,
boom, they're a hit again, which is pretty
the
amazing.
Show has heart.
Yeah, that's
a lot of heart, a lot of charm.
Yeah.
And
our guest is a distinguished actor and comedian, Billy Gardell. When you, this is an awkward question.
Sure,
you are a man of a certain size.
Oh, you could see me from the space shuttle. Yeah. When I had that blue uniform on, I looked like another body of water.
Lake Michigan.
Wow. Here he comes.
Was there something in your contract saying, hey, don't lose weight? We need you to be big. Or if you had said, hey, look, I'm going to drop 100 pounds, would they have written it into the script?
You know, I think Chuck would have done that. Because on the second show I did, Bob Hart's Abishola, that's when I had to make a change. Because it was like... you know, I got type 2 diabetes, and then I had some cholesterol problems and some triglyceride. But like, you can't, once the numbers start climbing, mm-hmm. you can't play denial anymore, you know, or you might lose a foot, you know. So I had to really come to grips with, I got to get healthy no matter what the thing is. And I went in and talked to Chuck, which was over the...
This is Chuck Lurie,
Chuck Lurie,
head of the
dropping names all over the floor here. But I said, look, man, I got to make a real health change. It was over the hiatus between season 2 and season 3 of Bob Hart's. And he's like, look, man, I just want you here. Just go get healthy. And he goes, and we'll color it into the script. Like, hey, Bob, did you go to the gym today? Hey, Bob, you eating salad? And that actually kind of reflected the show, because at the beginning of that show, I play a guy who had a heart attack and then wakes up and falls in love with his nurse. And she's from Nigeria, and it's about blended families and love is love. But underneath that, it's kind of his journey to getting healthy. So it kind of reflected and worked perfectly. But I think had I been in trouble with Mike and Molly, I think Chuck would have been supportive either way. He's been really
And Melissa McCarthy's also dropped some.
Yeah.
Pounds.
Yeah. Melissa actually was ahead of me, man. But she was just always being strict and really got focused in on exercise. I had bariatric surgery, and I always say that I'm very open about that because, you know, the wonderful cesspool that the internet, don't you miss Earth One? I do. I feel like I bumped up against a multiverse and I'm not supposed to be here. But I did bariatric surgery, and I always say that because there was a group on the internet after I lost my weight all over Facebook doing fake AI commercials saying I ate these magic gummy bears to lose weight.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I got to defend that and just say, because my lawyer said, look, you could chase them. You'd run out of money before you'd catch them because they bounce off of everything. You can't catch anybody on the internet. So I just tell people openly what I did, because there's always somebody that will come up there that saw those commercials online and go, did those gummy bears work? I'm like, dude, gummy bears is what got me in trouble in the first place. Let's get back to cognitive thinking.
Your breakout hit, Mike and Molly.
Yes, sir.
Was that your very first appearance on television?
No, my first appearance was, I want to say, in somewhere around 97. I was a guest star. I got a guest starring spot on The King of Queens, where I played, it was his football team reunion, and me and another guy got to play a guy. These guys that kind of used to give Patton Oswalt's character a rash of trouble in high school, and they played on that. And then there was a thing where... Kevin James got the game winning block, but they were giving credit to somebody else and he couldn't hold it together. It was a fun episode. And then I did little, you know, I was man number 3, and then, you know, like the plumber and stuff. I did a bunch of those. And then I caught some air on a show called Yes, Dear, as a reoccurring character.
You were a security guard, right, at a studio?
Yeah, we were the security guards at the studio, and we used to film there, which was great, because when I had an audition, because we were cool with the security guards, when those guys were in there and they saw me coming, they're like, they used to park you, like, way down the street in a parking structure, and it's L.A. heat, you know, you're heavy. I'm walking in, just, I look like a serial killer by the time I get to the audition. But because we were cool with those guards and we played them, they would always sneak us into a parking spot that a producer wasn't in.
Like, nice.
Oh, take 454, but be out of there by 1. Got it. All right. Okay. I'm all good.
So. Did you ever do any commercials?
I did. I did a local McDonald's commercial. I did a Nokia cell phone commercial that went national. And then I was a spokesperson for a restaurant out in California early on, which is actually what got me married, for a place called Round Table Pizza. And I did, like, I don't know, 10 or 11 commercials for them. I was like their, I don't know what the word is. What's the
spokesperson? Were you
spokesperson.
Were you on camera?
Yeah. We did probably ten commercials.
Was this the larger iteration of Billy Gardell?
Yeah, absolutely. But I wasn't at full capacity yet, but I was on my way. And
they probably helped.
I had like a flat top haircut. Well, yeah, I always said, I go, you're gonna get a thin guy to advertise pizza? Let's be real. That's like when they show a commercial for Michelob Light and some dude's running a marathon. Okay. Stop it. Just put the game on and shut up. But I did that, and that got me, that was the first financial, like, little bit of get-ahead breathing room that I had, and that's when I got married to my wife. We went to Hawaii for their spokesperson thing, and they very kindly gave us a couple extra days, and we got married, just me and her out there for, we bought the $2,200 wedding package.
Nice.
And we're still married to this day.
I like your wife because she talked to you out of the mustache.
She did. Well, she didn't. She really talked me out of it. She looked at me and said, "That's it. I'm done kissing the cactus. It's been 5 years. Take it off." I was like, "Oh." Because I liked it. You grow a mustache, you know, that you're going to roll the dice. You either look pervy or old-timey. And I came out old-timey. I was like, "Let me keep this." She's like,
now, the producers, when you're on your second big show and you've got the mustache.
Yeah.
Do you have to say, "Hey, look, Chuck, I'm going to grow this mustache."
You know,
or do you show up on set and he goes, "Wait a minute."
No, what I did was for the table read for the network in the studio before the pilot, I grew it and I brought it in, and Chuck walked up and he goes, "Yeah, I like it." And that was it.
Really?
Yeah, I figured the guy's a compression sock salesman from Detroit. Chances are he's got a mustache.
Yeah.
He's driving a Cadillac. "Hey, how you doing?" You know, just kind of feel.
I'm a fan of the compression socks.
Oh, me too, brother. I can't fly without them. That's the only part I don't like about being back on the road is at this point, I'm like Bull Durham out on the road. You know, I'm just knees hurt, got to wear compression, got to get up, take a walk in the plane.
Same here.
Make sure I don't drink too much before I get on the plane. And I just mean liquids, not liquor. But I mean, it's like, yeah, so, but, you know, it's a gift to be out.
I want to go back to the early days of stand-up, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
I was talking. My son Willie is currently touring with Frank Caliendo, and
Frank's a great guy.
Talking about, you know, in the early days when you're first doing it, you always have to have a couple of beers before you go on stage because you're nervous. Then there comes a point where you say, "Wait a minute, I'm working.
Yeah,
I got to be straight when I do this." Was there a phase where you mentioned you were drinking when you were doing those strip club gigs?
Yeah, I drank every week, and then. You know, I haven't had a drink in years now, but back then I was I started with tequila and beer, then I went to Jack Daniels, and then I went to Jameson, and Jameson put me on the bench.
Yeah,
that's the one. That's what took me out of the game.
That's where you and Pat met. The Jameson brothers.
Double Jameson will take
you. You have to look at your career realistically, and when you get to the point where it's they mention your name and they go, "Man, he can drink," instead of "Man, he's funny," then you got to go, "Okay, wait a minute, I'm fading away here." So.
I never wanted to drink before I got up.
Smart.
Because I didn't want to have to rely on anything.
There it is.
But Jeff, do you? Or did you?
I go up with a beer, but I just sip
just have it to sip. I don't drink beforehand, but everyone's like, oh, you were hammered. I'm like, I had one sip.
I can understand having a cocktail up there. It's a very social setting. And, you know, I totally get that. But I would do like, you know, three or four shots before going up.
All right,
with the judgment.
Not judging at all.
No,
yeah,
I'm judging.
There were always guys like that.
But I thought I needed it, and then you know, I quit drinking, and 2 years later, I had a TV show. So I was like, wow, I probably should have put the brakes on a little bit earlier.
You could have been on Friends.
Did you ever?
All that Friends movie.
Did you ever find the drinking caused you to forget part of your act, though? That's what I would be worried
weirdly
about.
No. Oh. No, weirdly no. I don't know if it just loosened me up or whatever, but I was just leaning into it too heavy. And then when it starts getting sloppy, I'm like, you know, man, a wise old man told me at the worst part of my drinking, look, man, he goes, I'll just shoot you straight. A guy like you, he goes, I watched you drink all week. He goes, you can have a drink or you can have everything else, but you better make your choice. And then the wife put it in the suggestion box.
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
Football season is here.
Oh, man.
Believe has the podcast to enhance your football experience. From the pros.
One of the most interesting quarterback rooms.
To college.
Michigan is set at 8.5 wins.
To fantasy.
If you feel that way, why didn't you trade him?
Become a better fan and listen to the football podcasts from Believe.
Just search Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V podcast.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.